This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. As businesses across Michigan begin to reopen next week, there are a few that will have to remain closed: salons, gyms, and movie theaters. However, Michigan's drive-in theaters have the green light to restart. As the nation's automotive capital, Michigan has a long and storied history with drive-ins. Here's the author of Michigan Drive-In Theaters, Harry Skirdla, talking to us on Stateside back in 2014.
The first drive-in in Michigan opened in 1938, and it was the 10th in the country or in the world. That was the one that became eventually known as the East Side in Detroit. Most of them were built just after the war, probably between, say, 47 and 50. As I said, it peaked in 58. And at that point, there were probably 3,700 in the country. What killed them essentially was they were constructed of necessity on the outskirts of towns where the property was cheap. Well, these cities kept on growing over the years. And in the case of the Gratiot, ironically, the same architectural firm that designed the Gratiot in 48 was designing the strip mall that replaced it in 85. Well, I went and talked to them at the time, and the senior architect said, the drive-in was still making money, but they gave them $10 million for the property.
Oh, man. Thus ended a much beloved chapter of Michigan movie watching. Strangely enough, though, the pandemic has a lot of people all over the country thinking how very attractive the drive-in experience can be. A pair of Michigan brothers has capitalized on the moment. They directed an independently produced horror film called The Wretched. Under other circumstances, it might have had a hard time competing with other box office releases. But thanks to drive-in audiences across the nation, the only ones open, The Wretched became the number one grossing film in America for several weeks. The film is about a witch who preys on children, imitating moms and other women to reel them in. Here's a taste.
Dylan, I'm down here, baby. Mommy needs help. Come here, sweetheart. Come on, it's okay. Dylan, come down here, baby.
Dylan! You're going to be in so much trouble if you don't come here right now.
Listen to Mommy, you
little... Do as I say, Dylan!
Dylan!
I'm getting out of here.
Hey, don't dip out on me like that. It freaks me out.
That's a clip from the new film, The Wretched. Joining us now are the directors of The Wretched, Brett and Drew Pierce. Welcome to Stateside, guys.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having us. Thanks, guys.
You guys grew up in Michigan. I know you went to Dondero High in Royal Oak back when it was Dondero High.
Yeah. We grew up in Detroit initially and went to Detroit Open School together. And then our mom moved us out to Royal Oak for the high school days. And graduated high school in Royal Oak. And then Drew went to college at CCS and I went to Wayne State University.
Yeah, true Michigan boys. Yeah. We actually used to show our movies all the time at the main art theater in Royal Oak, this little artsy theater.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
A little indies. We'd shoot really bad movies and then rent the theater out and force all our friends and family to pay to come see them.
Yeah. And you guys have a real genre DNA connection. Your dad did some special effects and indeed worked on Sam Raimi's classic Evil Dead. What did he tell you about that shoot?
That it was a total nightmare.
Yeah, that was a mess.
Yeah.
We kind of took that away from that. I mean, we've grown up with the lore and sort of idolizing like what Sam was able to pull off. But yeah, it sounds like it was just the worst shoot of all time. And they just kept shooting because they had no idea what they were doing. Sam Raimi, I think, was like 18 years old when he was doing that movie. So
right.
It was just a disaster.
Yeah.
And I think that's sort of what we've taken into all of our projects, just like, not only is it like a bunch of friends and family, but it's also a little bit of a mess, you know?
It's a mess. It's like
our original production.
It's a do-it-yourself kind of mentality, you know? Because with Evil Dead, from our perspective as kids watching them do that, it was like, oh, dad, just, you know, you get your friends together, you know, Sam and Bruce and all these guys, and you figure out how to make your movie in your basements and your backyards or the woods of Michigan, you know?
Well, Evil Dead is kind of the classic example.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What were some other family favorites in horror when you were growing up?
Oh, man. Probably Fright Night was a big one.
Yeah. Right.
This is really obvious if you've seen the movie.
Yeah, if you've seen the movie.
But
yes.
E.T. Well, I don't know if that's horror, but like for horror for me,
I love seven-year-old,
Yeah. I mean, I was terrified of E.T. I thought he was super scary. I used to have a trading card of him that I couldn't look at because he looked too creepy to me. But it was the original Halloween was really big for Drew and I. Fright Night, Child's Play. I know I love Child's Play. It's a great, cheesy, fun killer doll movie. I think that's why we just like movies about kids in trouble, too, is that, you know, kind of grows out of the Fright Nights and Child's Play films.
Sure. Well, so The Wretched is about a young man who's trying to fend off a witch who preys on children. What elements got your interest about the story?
I mean, it started mostly with Drew and I kind of realizing that the character of the witch didn't really have like rules or a built out mythology that everybody was completely familiar with. There had been a lot of witches in a lot of different films, but it was always kind of nebulous, like how they worked or what they would, or maybe they were just a ghost that murdered children that happened to be a woman. So they would call her a witch.
And we wanted it to feel sort of like vampires and zombies, these movies that have so many rules. They're kind of fun to watch because you know what to anticipate in the scene, you know what to be worried about. So we started digging into like a couple real mythologies. We've read about everyone that's ever existed, but we found these two that were really interesting to us. There's this one called Black Annie or Black Annis. It's this English myth about like a blue-faced hag who steals children and devours them beneath her tree in the woods. Mm-hmm. And then there's another one called the Boo Hag about this skin-stealing, body-swapping kind of witch, where you can salt her skin, like she'd come back at night, you salt her skin and she'd burn alive.
Yeah. And we just liked those ideas so much that we were like, let's combine these two ideas and make up a few rules of our own that we think just make the movie more exciting. And that kind of gave us our creature witch, which was like, we were super excited about.
What did you talk about with your effects team when you were crafting the look of your villain?
Well, it was great because Drew is a character designer by trade. He's worked on a lot of animated shows like Futurama. So he had made a bunch of drawings of the wretch or the witch way before we even shot the film. When we were even trying to raise money, we had all these drawings we were going around with her to show to investors. And so we just kind of like handed those over and said, this is what we're thinking. What do you think we can actually pull off? And it ended up being this kind of great collaboration because he would do sculpts of the creature. Like he'd be sculpting the face and the chest and the back. And then he would send us pictures because we were in Michigan prepping the movie and he was still out here in LA in his little garage creature
shit taking him.
Yeah. And Drew would just draw over the sculpts and say, hey, let's thin out her face a little bit here. Let's make the forehead a little less prominent. So it was this awesome like collaboration where like Drew and the effects guy were getting to kind of like just completely design the creature together at the same time.
Yeah, it was really cool. Yeah.
For those who haven't seen the movie, the wretch has, I mean, she's identifiably female.
Yeah.
But at the same time, she has like this sort of skeletal look about her. And you did a lot with animal skeletons.
In her
construction. Yeah. But like what did you find physically frightening that you wanted to incorporate in like her movement?
Well, we held like an audition for creature actors because we knew we had this sort of particular feel we wanted for the creature, but we just put out this open casting call like with our concept designs and our script little beats kind of attached. And we got back a ton of submissions, half of which were just people like growling at the camera, looking ridiculous. But a lot of the actual like sort of motion and sort of
the visual representation where she moved was our actress, Madeline Stunkel, who's actually a Michigan native too. We found her in Chicago at the time because she was just going to school there, but she was originally from Michigan. So she has sent us the coolest tape. She was doing the best monster stuff we'd ever seen. So, and she was from Michigan, so it all made sense.
It's an easy one.
Yeah.
Is there a lot to choose from out there in terms of character actors?
There's a handful of people that like they tend to bounce around and do all the like Guillermo del Toro stuff. You know,
they're like the go-to creature people. Yeah.
There's people with sort of like different deformities that are like way too thin or have like a weird contortion kind of element to them. There's nothing specific. Like the girl we hired, she's actually a dancer and just really, you know, articulate with her body. And she just had a, good sense for it.
Yeah. She's kind of a natural for doing this stuff. And she always told us that she just practiced like scaring her siblings by doing these creepy creature movements that she was mimicking from The Ring. So
I wonder what it's like to direct somebody for movement in that way that might be different than directing acting.
I mean, it's definitely a different process because it's a lot more about like blocking and how do they position and what do they do. But it's just like acting. You're trying to give them as much creative freedom as possible at the same time. And it's kind of hard to do when you're trying to get exactly like a 3-second long sort of movement in a particular way.
A lot of it's though, they kind of like with Madeline and even Zara, who kind of plays the possessed witch that has some creepy movements. A lot of it's them showing you what they can do, like even just right before you shoot or the day before. And you're like, oh, wow. That's really cool. And that's, you know, honestly, I just didn't think you'd be comfortable enough to bend that far or push an arm that far. And you kind of embrace that. You just kind of work with them because honestly, they're going to know their bodies and what they're able to push it to do better than you are.
The Wretched had a fantastic run and was the top film in America for weeks. Not to downplay the product, but certainly in no small part due to the fact that it was distributed through drive-in theaters.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is a time when people cannot go sit in a theater seat like they usually do. Was that initially part of your plan when you were in pre-production for the film, was to see if as many drive-in theaters as possible would take it?
No, I mean, that'd be great if we were. Yeah. No, it was.
It was more like the ship was sinking. So what do we do?
The ship was sinking. We had poured all of our hearts and a lot of hard work into this movie over the course of 3+ years. Then all this hit. And, you know, it's hard to get even any limited theatrical is pretty uncommon for most indies. Like more than 90% don't get any kind of release. And we thought we'd be releasing in maybe like 10 or 15 theaters and it'd just be kind of a blip and, eventually we'd come out on streaming. But then, obviously the pivot that IFC did to releasing in drive-ins, I mean, I don't think anybody even themselves like expected it to blow up the way it had.
But then when it did, what was great is they just kind of embraced it and they're like, well, there's more drive-ins and there's more openings. So let's see if more people will show up. And it just,
keep
it was
pushing.
Like a snowball. It just kind of kept happening. So, and the cool thing is honestly that created the opportunity for people to give a shot to an independent film that probably has a lot of actors nobody recognizes. But after those first couple of weeks, it became word of mouth that just kind of spread. So
yeah, I think audience is starting
to get it. We understand the unique opportunity that we're in, but we're just kind of like, wow. But you know what the thing was? It was able to shine a light on it for just long enough so that people actually knew it was there. So that's what was great.
If you're just joining us, my guests are Brett and Drew Pierce, the directors of the new film, The Wretched. Have you had a chance to experience the film at a drive-in?
Yeah, a couple of times. Yeah. It's great. I got to go on my first date night in months with my wife. I actually had Brett watch my son, who's in the movie.
Yeah. I've gone three
so
times.
I could go.
Yeah. I've gone three times, and it's always, I mean, it's especially with like, you know, how hard it is to deal with the pandemic right now and just the way the world is. It was such a nice relief to go somewhere where it was safe to be in your car and also be outside under the night sky and watch the sunset. As much as I loved watching the movie, I think I loved just being at the drive-in as much.
Yeah. Just being outside. Yeah. Drew, wait a second. Yeah. We have to back up here. I didn't put it together that one of those boys in the film was your son.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't think it's giving too much of the film away to say that most of the children in the film end up basically getting eaten.
Not in the best situation.
Yeah.
You mean dinner.
When we were trying to cast like essentially a baby, my son's 3 now, but he was a baby when we shot. And I didn't know who to ask for a baby for an independent movie who like things might end up tragic for.
Yeah.
So I kind of just offered up my own kid.
How did your wife take this news?
Morbid. She's so awesome. She's supportive. She's been great through the whole thing. But I feel like there has been like a lot of hard, long nights and lots of hard work that she's, had to deal with hanging out with the kid. So I think it justifies it that much more to her because, you know, she's like, my baby was on Good Morning America the other day. Looking cute. So it sort of validates the whole thing.
He knows he's a movie star. Yeah. He's seen himself on TV.
You know, you kind of alluded to the fact that a lot of people may have seen this film than maybe otherwise would have under a normal situation.
Yeah.
Just because of the drive-ins and the fact that people have so few options to go out and see some entertainment right now. And maybe also some critics might have looked at it differently than otherwise they might have.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of doors has this opened for you in the future?
It's opened a lot for us, just especially in the last month. We've been taking a lot of Zoom meetings about pitching on things, but also pitching other concepts that we want to make. And honestly, the funny thing is, Drew and I never had these opportunities before. It literally like blew the doors open. And given like, you know, you never know if any of those things are going to work out, but Drew and I are, you know, we're feeling positive, feeling good about those things. But at the same time, it's kind of like the Midwesterner in us. We'll still figure out how to make a movie on our own if none of these possibilities work out for some reason.
Sure.
So, yeah. Sure. Yeah. But it's been great.
So if folks cannot get to a drive-in anytime soon, is there a place that they can see it on the small screen?
Yeah, we've been on VOD, which means you can rent the film on iTunes, Amazon, PlayStation Store, Xbox, pretty much any VOD service, including your cable service. So it's pretty much everywhere.
Where do you put the goalposts right now? There are so many options in terms of the kind of deals people can make for themselves, you know, streaming services and, you know, limited series versus, you know, single shot releases, not to mention that thriving drive-through market that just isn't quitting anytime soon. What kinds of aspirations do you have?
I think our like first true love is just films, just movies, features, but we love all sorts of storytelling. We just love the process, every little bit of it. We love writing, we love storyboarding, we love editing. Like that's the exciting part about being a filmmaker. And I think the thing we love is there's so many different types of things you get to do along the process. And like even now, like we really enjoyed being part of the marketing and sort of spreading the word and sharing this movie.
Yeah, like I think we just want to like with The Wretched, we got to have like a lot of creative control, and it was such a good creative experience for us that whatever we get to make next, we just want to make it with people that support us creatively and are part of the process with us, and we just want to make another movie that we're proud of and that we like. I mean, that's always the goal, you know, however it comes out is cool, but you know, we want more people to see it if possible.
Can you tell us what's in production?
Well, it's not in production, but it's something we're trying to push to happen. We really want to make a new take on the werewolf myth. We got really excited about the witch thing when we did The Wretched, and now we have a take on the werewolf that's super unique that we're really excited about. So we're hoping that's the next one, but you know, you never know. Maybe it's Wretched Part 2. Who knows?
Well, our guests have been Brett and Drew Pierce. They are the directors of The Wretched, which is seen at some drive-in theaters, although I'm sad to report Michigan's drive-ins are not quite there yet in terms of reopening. Guys, thank you so much. The film is really fun. Although not exactly a family feature.
Yeah, not a family movie.
I do keep on encouraging to let parents let their kids watch it, which I don't know if that's right or wrong, but I'm like, it's got teenagers in it. It's fine.
Man, that's nuts. That's just nuts. We're looking forward to their productions in the future. Please stay safe, guys, and have a good summer.
You too.
Thanks, you too.
Thank you.
Arts and culture coverage on Stateside is supported in part by an award from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs.